When Christ was on earth, and as he was doing his 3 years of ministry, public ministry, people would look at him, and instead of sort of like my dad did to me when I was doing things that he wondered about, you know, instead of asking, what were you thinking? I noticed that, you know, many times in the scriptures, it's like, by whose authority? Who do you think you are? Now, sometimes we hear that question, what are you thinking, and who do you think you are, put together. And in the letter to the people at Philippi, we who live in Christ are reminded, what are you thinking? And who do you think you are? And the answer is, who am I? A child of God. And what am I thinking? The things of God. Listen to the lesson again. We're going to start at verse 1. So you're on the back of your bulletin, you'll quickly pick up where verse 5 is. So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue that confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. With the caps, it's interesting. People wear caps for many different reasons, right? One, it's a fashion statement. And of course, you have to wear it the right way, whether it's backwards or to the side or the extra big cap. We've seen all kinds of fashion styles in caps. And they all may have something on them. And so it's a fashion statement. And if you watch the same person often enough, you'll notice that their fashion changes. One week it'll be a black cap. Another week it'll be this cap. Another week it'll be that cap. Maybe in the week they wear 5 caps. Who knows? Some people wear caps according to the seasons. Football, you have a football team on the cap. Baseball, you have a baseball team on the cap. Basketball, and then, of course, it depends upon whether it's NFL or college or what have you, the caps change even within the same season. And it's because you want to say, I'm a fan of, or I like. But I've noticed that people don't always like a whole team. Have you ever noticed that? They like a particular player, but they don't care for all the players. Or they like a coach, but not the players. Or the players, but not the coach. And so their fan base, it's kind of interesting how kind of fickle that is, how that wavers. Have you ever noticed that we wear Jesus that way? We wear crosses. Well, mine was backwards. We wear crosses, you know. We have earrings. I don't have them this big. We wear ornament. I have a cross on my ring. And it's very fashionable to wear a cross. But while wearing a cross, what kinds of things are people doing? What kind of words are coming out of their mouth? I went to a hockey game. I was at seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. They had a semi-pro team there in those years. I don't know if they're still there, the Flyers. Anyway, I don't follow hockey that much. But I was there, and you know, people were coming, and some were dressed nice, and some were dressed extremely casual. And once the game got started, I noticed this, that if you were wearing a cross or not, your language changed. And it wasn't the language you would use in church. Oh, no, that vocabulary didn't even belong out of a Christian's mouth. In the days of the apostles, it was a challenge because Christians were called not to fit in. Not into the ways of the world, not into the language of the world. They were called to be alive in Christ. That in our baptism, you're united with Christ in his death and in his resurrection. And not only is our thinking changed, but it comes from the heart. Because this is where love of God is. This is where our passion for the Lord is. And you ever notice that when you get passionate about something, and especially like at a sporting event, even in front of your TV, and it's not going your way, what kind of passion comes out of your mouth? And sometimes it's not pleasant. The epistle reminds us that we are to have this mind, this thinking, this heart, and it's of Christ. And so often, you know, Christ, we are reminded that Christ came to serve, not to be served. And what this reminds us is that you and I are called to be servants of the Lord God. But there's a battle going on within us with our sinful nature. And when I'm serving the Lord, I know I want it to be out of faith. But my sinful nature wants me to serve self or humankind. And then that's not of faith. That's out of selfish ambition, conceit, and you know, and all of those kinds of things that the Bible speaks about that does not honor God. I think it's just as significant to ask ourselves, what was I thinking? But I think the question is who was I serving? By what authority am I doing these things? Is it by the authority of the sinful nature or by the authority of the new life in Christ? And we are called to follow Christ. We are empowered to follow Christ. We are given the gift of faith to believe in Christ. And the Bible speaks about how that Holy Spirit renews our heart and renews our thinking so that we do not conform to the ways of the world. And to put it within the theme of the day, when you are talking, which cap are you wearing? Is it the one with the name of Jesus? Or is it the one with the name of something of the world? Whether it's politics or causes or whatever it is, all of a sudden, it is so easy for us to be ungodly. Christ died for the ungodly. We all find ourselves using words and having thoughts that we shouldn't and we know are wrong, but Christ died for us. And by his death and resurrection, you and I are given a new life. And in a sense, a new heart and a new mind. The epistle is still relevant today. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. The epistle is still relevant. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. It still has a purpose. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And it has a mission. that every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You see, you and I have new life in Christ. We don't need to be switching caps, changing hearts. Instead, every day we're alive in Christ, and we follow his example of humility, of love, and of serving to the glory of God. Amen.